Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power, but really it's more going to be dad power today. That's right. Father's Day is coming up this month, and it's a time when I think it is wonderful to be reflective of the important role that men play in life, and especially when it comes to the kids. But what about the father-daughter relationship? When there have been men that I've had conversations with regarding their little girls, many times they say, I haven't a clue. I can't figure out. I don't understand how they think. I just don't get it. I don't know where they're coming from. And I think of the gentleman that wrote, women are from Venus and men are from Mars. And I think there is always this curve of learning that goes along with parenthood. And it's my delight today to have a gentleman, James I. Bond. Ah, yes, you're hearing the name correctly. He's not the legendary James Bond of the renown that has been depicted in movies, on movie screens, but he is a man who decided to do a project. It's called the Father-Daughter Project, and we'll find out more about that. But his book is all about the secret life of fathers. And what I really found so delightful about this book is that it was from a man's perspective. Actually, he had 101 perspectives in this book from different men about their involvement with their little girls. And I want to welcome to the show James I. Bond. James, it's a delight having you.
Thank you, Donna. Great to be here.
Well, I just love the photo on the cover of your book. A little girl, she looks like she might be about 4 years old, three or 4 years old, and she's giving her daddy a kiss on the cheek. And I thought, this is so significant. The role of the father is so very, very vital in the lives of children. And the fact that you talk about the relationship between dads and their little girls, this to me was especially poignant, because too often in today's world, we don't hear about the male perception about the involvement and in working with children. And there's a reason for that. We won't go into it. But the thing is, you've taken the time to do this. What motivated you to do this? Was there a special aha moment? Was there a little girl that walked up to you and said, you need to tell your story? I mean, what happened?
Well, it started as a shock. And I have a son, and I have three daughters who are in their 20s. And so I thought I was just so great as a father, but boy, you know, you learn really fast that no, I'm just learning. But my middle daughter, Lauren, when she was 22, I heard about a mean prank that the kids did to her when she was 6 years old. And we had a backyard, we were renting a home, and we had a backyard that butted up against the local baseball field, the community baseball field. And there's a Little League game going on. And so my son and my oldest daughter had the gate open just a crack so they could look onto the baseball field. It was dusk, so you had the light coming in from the field.
Mm-hmm.
And they called to Lauren. They said, Lauren, come. And Lauren's 6 years old. Said, Lauren, come on here. You've got to see this. And they were looking at something on the baseball field. And Lauren said, no. They said, yeah, come out here. You've got to see this. She said, well, I just took a shower. I said, don't worry about it. It'll just take a second. Come out here. You've got to see this. So she goes out to the backyard with just a towel on, and she goes up to the fence, and she looks out through the crack, and they rip off the towel, and they push her onto the baseball field.
Oh, how horrible.
And then they close the fence. Now think about this. You're 6 years old, and you're naked in front of the whole neighborhood.
Oh.
With just a packed field. And so she turned around and she knocked on a fence. Let me back in. And they wouldn't let her back in. So she had to walk all the way around the field with all the little boys and the parents looking at her and around to the front to get back into our house. And so I heard about this terrible thing when she was 22. And so I wondered, wow, if this happened to my little baby when she was this young, what else happened to her? And so I wrote her an email, and, you know, sometimes when you're writing things, things come out that you wouldn't say sometimes. And I started, in my email, I said, I realized that you were the quiet one. I never really got to know you. And this terrible thing happened. I wonder what else happened to you. And I feel like I haven't been that good a dad, that, you know, life passed by, and here you're growing up, and I never really got to know you. And she sent me an email back, and she said, I've been waiting my whole life to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
And after I picked myself up off the floor, I realized, you know, I thought our relationship was great, but that's my perception, not hers. Her understanding is that we never actually had a relationship. And I wondered, why was this so hard? She was the quiet one. Why is this so hard for me to have a relationship with her, that life, you know, passed by, and you know, with my career and everything else? And I wondered, am I the only dad who's this clueless about his relationship with his daughter? And so when it started, I began asking other dads about their relationship with their daughters. I was doing it so I could be a better dad. But what started out as a simple idea became a marathon, and I ended up interviewing 101 dads in two-hour, detailed, really in-depth conversations. And I ran a behavior management company, so I kind of knew how to ask questions in such a way that I can get real answers and deep answers from dads.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just every kind of dad you could imagine. I had a 9/11 fireman. Just so many dads came forward who were so gracious. I had one of the most powerful attorneys in the country, an ex-drug dealer, white-collar, blue-collar, unemployed, just straight, gay, just you name. I just had every kind of dad who, and I guess I'm a good listener, so they told me, you know, they were comfortable telling me stuff that they don't tell other people.
Mm-hmm.
And their personal stories helped me understand why dads act the way they do. But also, I started to realize that they're defining why men are, or what men are really like beneath what we have as a carefully guarded image. And so people who heard some of the interviews and saw the transcripts of some of the interviews just encouraged me, and I put what they said into the book, The Secret Life of Fathers. And it's kind of like, people have told me, it's kind of like eavesdropping on men talking with other men when no woman's in the room about a topic that's almost never discussed, which is, you know, the deep down feelings and fears that dads have and that guys have. And also, guess who's really affected? Did I mention mom? I mean, women are daughters too. And women of all ages are telling me that they see themselves in these pages in the way that dads describe, you know, their relationship with their daughter.
I think your book is pivotal in that it does exactly what you've just said. It gives us an inside conversation, and it also shows that the men of today are having to redefine themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's requiring, just like it has of yourself, a willingness to be curious. And I had to chuckle. It said, for a girl, the parts of her brain that manage emotion and communication can be significantly different than those in the brain of her dad and of men. And that is an absolute. I mean, really. It's just something.
Our wiring is not complete. That's the problem. The wiring for guys between their emotions and their mouth isn't there.
And my husband has often said, Mother Nature, for some reason, has endowed the female with the capacity, once she enters puberty, and this isn't 100%, but there's a mechanism that goes on in the female that says, okay, you've got to be mature here. The games are over. It's time for you to grow up. Where he says boys have to have good men around them to give them good example. And if they don't have it, then a lot of men never grow up. They just never get out of being little boys, and this irritates women ad infinitum.
Right.
And it is something that when he said that, and he said it's just become stronger and stronger in his observation. And I think that, again, your book goes a long way to making it okay for the men to share their fears, for the men to realize that there is a tremendous difference, and two, that there is this wiring, I'll use that as you describe it, that necessitates men going through a support system of some kind that's going to give them good example, as I've just mentioned. And I think that's what your book goes towards. And it allows men, especially if they're willing to do it, to be in touch with what I call the female side in self.
Right.
And that is the sensitive side of the self. And to be okay with that and realize that that vulnerability is not a downer. It doesn't mean that they don't have the strength and that they can't be the person that they want to be. It means it's okay to be a part of that. And I really feel so many of the stories, and you go through the different phases. You have 10 stages of the father-daughter experience at birth, going to the terrible twos, which just cracked me up. I think every woman reading this, they're saying, oh, my Lord, can I relate to the terrible twos as mothers? But seeing it from a dad's eyes when they're three, and you go through the various times. But I really think that you make a very profound statement, and I'd like to start right at the beginning of the book. It says, it's the impact of one's own parents, in this case, a father's own parents, and his comfort with women in general, in understanding what has molded him into the kind of father he has become. Now, right. There again, it goes back full circle to what I've said. Without good example, then what are you going to compare anything with? How are you going to know what is more appropriate? And it's really a challenge because women have their cultural modalities and the men have theirs. And in many environments, the men are so segregated from the children. Often they don't get involved with them until they're about 5, 7, 9, 10 years of age. I know of many instances where men from all kinds of cultures just don't get involved with their children until about those age. So I really appreciated this. One of the comments by a guy is that he was intimidated by women. He doesn't understand the rules of engagement.
Right.
Tell us how this affected you when you were hearing this from other men. Did you relate to this? Did you, when they were talking about this, obviously talking with a man and having a good empathy is important. But this is a pretty powerful statement.
Yeah, so absolutely I related to it. I didn't like the word fear because some of the guys said I'm really afraid of women. But as I read their comments, as I listened to their comments, as I experienced them saying it, it really resonated with me, and I recognized that, I have a basic fear because I don't know the rules of engagement. The guy in the book talked about how he was comfortable with men in a man's world, but in a woman's... So guys have two volumes, most guys, loud and off. Okay? So we're not going to say anything, or we're going to be loud, maybe sometimes inappropriately. And often, and one of the things that came out was because guys are so uncomfortable because they don't know the rules of engagement, then what happens is we get shut down or we try to deflect. We try to not let you know what's really going on. Like, so for the women out there, does this sound familiar, okay? You try to get close to your dad, but the more you tried, the more distant the relationship seemed to be, okay? Well, this lady, Maggie, who's a copywriter in Santa Barbara, was telling me that she read through the first chapter, as about how one dad was struggling to connect with his daughter because of the rules of engagement thing. He was uncomfortable. It made her wonder about her dad's weak attempts to try to connect with her. Mm-hmm. And her dad's passed away years ago, but she's Irish, and her dad was a typical drunken Irishman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Irish out there, okay. But she said that, you know, where we drink water, they drink booze all the time. And he would come home when she was young, and you could smell the alcohol on his breath. He was, like, really plastered. But he would come over, and he would try to help her with her homework. And she would just get disgusted by him and just send him away. And he'd literally turn around and walk out of the house. And so suddenly, as she started reading this, she became overcome with sadness that she realized maybe he was trying to tell her that he loved her in the only way he knew how. And maybe mm-hmm. she missed the message. And it really, she said it really cut her deep that she never had talks with him. And she started to get this horrible feeling that maybe the coldness that she seemed to feel from him was fear. You know, could she have missed the subtle messages on how he really felt? And she wished she'd had a chance to ask him some of the questions that were asked in the book. You know, especially she said, she was telling me that the question she wanted to ask was, how is his life different how would his life have been different if she had never been born? I mean, what a question.
Mm-hmm.
This is about life-changing conversation between a man and a woman. And so I'm sitting with a bunch of guys, and I ask them, okay, a dog knows you love him because you walk him, you give him hugs, you give him treats. How does a daughter or any woman in your life know that you love her? And then they start laughing, ha, 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 you know. Yeah, you walk her, you give her hugs, you give her treats.
So, this is a guy response.
It sure is. I mean, really. But then I got really serious, and I asked the bigger question, and it's, does your daughter really know you love her? And it was surprising. It took a while for them to answer. And they started explaining, and one by one, not everyone, but most of the guys explained that they want to talk to their daughter and the women in their life, but sometimes it's really tough expressing feelings. They agreed that with a nudge, you know, with the right questions, the floodgates will open, but often it just, they feel this wall. And that's why even in the book I have, and on our website, so, you know, if they don't want to get the book, on the website we have it too, the questions. We have the questions, and you have a chance to, you know, see how people answer, how guys answer the questions, but also try the questions yourself on your dad and on the men in your life. I mean, you got to try this. It's just, people are telling me it's just amazing how it just opens up the floodgates.
Mm-hmm. I found in your book so many fascinating perspectives, and one of them was stated by a dad, and his name was Ken, and he's a New York fireman. He said, girls and boys are so different. He said, and this is when they're babies, when they're
yep.
little. He said, the boys, it's like, hi, how are you? Give me some time. I'm busy. I've got to be off. I'm exploring. I'm doing all this stuff. Hey, give me a truck. I'm happy.
Right.
Little girl, though, and this is something that really affected him deeply, his daughter always would stare into his eyes, and she'd want to touch his face, and she
right.
wanted to be whispered to, and she wanted to be talked to.
Right.
And this was a whole new learning curve for him. Here he's got this tiny, tiny person in his massive, strong, masculine arms.
Right.
And she's there saying, oh, your face, you've got a beard. I want you to cuddle me. I want you to do this. This opens up a whole new perspective in his life.
Right. Yeah, he said girls are aliens. He said he grew up in a household with boys, and girls are like aliens from another planet. But he said also, he was so funny. So at first he said, and, you know, it's really weird. He said, I'm a good-looking guy. I'm a fireman. I'm buff and everything else. And so I'm a chick magnet, okay? And I've gone out with all these women and everything else, and now I'm married. And now I have a daughter, and she's approaching like 12, 13 years old, and I'm freaking out because I'm realizing I know what guys are after. This is, how do I warn her? This is like my punishment for being such a, you know, such a, you know, a young guy, when I was a young guy. But he also said, so he as a fireman, he gets to work like 2 days on or 3 days on and 4 days off. You know, that's how firemen work. So he gets to be a stay-at-home dad for a lot of her relationship. And it's so funny hearing him trying to discipline her. He does the wash. He comes in. He puts a laundry basket in her room. And she's drawing these on different pieces of paper, pictures. And on each paper, there's a heart with a picture of her and her daddy inside the hearts. And so he said, he came in and he said, I need you to put your clothes away so that I can get the basket back. And so she goes, okay, and she turns it upside down and just dumps it on the floor and just hands it back to him. And he said, what do I say? She's got these pictures with me with hearts all over the room. I don't know. How do I deal with that?
And what she did was perfectly logical in her mind. She
That's
said,
right.
Okay, I'm too busy for this. I'm
right.
busy doing what I really want to do and what I need to do at this moment. You need the basket, all right? Everything on the floor. Here you go, the
That's
basket.
Right. Here you go.
She did it. She didn't do it the way he logically thought it should be done, but she did do what he asked her to do.
Right.
She got the clothes out of the basket, not necessarily in the right way, but gave him back what he needed. And there is a delightful commercial on television that I just adore. It's for a detergent. And whoever put this together, I thought, I wonder if they read your book. Because it's so identical to the story of your father, Ron, who's in his middle 40s. And he has a daughter. And he talks about how freaky it is. But he plays Pretty Pretty Princess with his daughter. And I just read this, and I started laughing. I thought, somebody had to have read your book to put that commercial together. The synchronicity was just unbelievable.
Mm. Yeah. And so there's lots that's funny, and it's really great, but there's also lots that's really serious. Like later in the book, there's a story of there's a really riveting story of one of the most powerful attorneys in the country. And, you know, when he got on the call, he kind of went, oh, what did I get myself into? And I don't know if it's wife or who got him to get on the call. But and so I thought, you know, it's a good thing I had the questions. It's a good thing I wasn't face-to-face with him. I got to be on the phone on a recorded interview because otherwise he would have seen the fear on my face. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I went through and I asked him the questions. And he has a son, a daughter, and an adopted younger daughter, Jamie, who was about 22 at the time. And at first, he rolled his eyes when I asked him about Jamie. It turned out that she never felt that she could keep up with his biological kids, and she could never be as good as them. You know, they went to, like, you know, Yale and all this stuff, and they just had a really great career. And so she became an alcoholic and got involved in drugs. But she's at the other end of that now, and she's finally better. And he warned that, you know, an alcoholic is, you always know that they're in recovery, never fully recover, that you always have the chance to go back. But her life is finally working out really great. And she just graduated, and she's becoming a teacher. But as he started answering the questions, he remembered the intense conversations he had with Jamie as they were going to and from the alcoholic AA meetings, the Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. But he also remembered the incredible support from her brother and sister, that she couldn't have done it without her brother and sister's support. And it was really funny what he suddenly realized how important she was to their entire family. He said, it was so weird that he said this, he said, my family was almost boring before her. I never realized this before. Because everything was perfect, our great education, everybody was great in school and everything else. And along came Jamie, and her life was falling apart. And he said, I got a chance to see that she's the glue that held my family together. I got to see what the real character of my son and my daughter are, that they wouldn't let this happen to their sister. And this tough-as-nails attorney started crying on the call as he realized that she was the glue that held their entire family together. You know, what are we talking about? We're talking about, like, repairing the relationships between dad, daughter, and a family. And it's amazing to me how just a few simple questions could radically change how a dad feels about his daughter. And better yet, that, you know, that what he realizes what he didn't understand about how he feels. And I think that's part, to me, that was so powerful. You know, as I went through the interviews, I was blown away by what the guys would say. And I guess I'm a good listener, but it was also, it was deeply affected me. So it was really hard for me to keep my composure. I guess I have a good poker face. But I would just go through the questions. But sometimes I'd be, you know, crying on the other end, and I'd be, okay, next question. You know, I'd try to really control my voice as I went forward, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. there were some of them were just so deep.
One of the issues that you bring up that a number of men had opinions on was the abandonment of family.
Yep.
And this is nothing new in the role of human experience. And many times men do this because they are afraid. They are
yep.
afraid. When a child is brought into the world, that child dramatically changes your life, period. I don't care whether you're a man or a woman. Your life is totally changed. It never goes
right.
back to what perhaps you may have perceived with the perfect life or imperfect life, however your perception is. And this is something that some of the men actually had done. One of the stories that you have in here is about a man who was separated. He separated himself for 9 years.
Right. Yep.
And that still is a very painful thing, but he did finally recognize responsibility and go back. I noticed in your book how many of the dads were divorced and how many of them continued to be involved with their children. And one of the questions that came into my mind, because of these many interviews that you have, our society, in so many ways, disempowers the male and actually almost seems to encourage a disengagement with children.
Right.
I'm seeing a shift with this. Would you agree with me that there is a shift with men wanting to be more involved with their kids?
Absolutely. And we have wonderful role models. I mean, we certainly have role models on the other side, but maybe it's the internet and the fact that we don't have personal contact. But, you know, a daughter, unlike a wife or a girlfriend, you're connected to her. A father's connected to his daughter till death do us part. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the relationship you have. On a radio, I heard this lady talking about how she was a product of artificial insemination. And
mm-hmm.
even she was trying to track down her father. And she spent years trying to figure out who she's like, you know, how she's connected to her father,
mm-hmm.
Who's the real father, and, you know, the test tube baby. And so it's just amazing how deep it is for us to understand our connection, and to, you know, there's magic in the connection between a father and a daughter, particularly, especially because it's like the relationship with a puppy. You know, dads are not good with verbal,
mm-hmm.
but with a puppy, it's great because you can never say the wrong thing. Well, with a little baby, you can't say the wrong thing either. You know, I've
mm-hmm.
got a baby in my arm. I say, oh, you're so beautiful, but you look just like Winston Churchill. Don't say that. Well, she doesn't know what I mean. She knows I love her, you know.
Right.
I can't say the wrong thing when I have her in my arms.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's learning how to talk, but we're connecting at an emotional level, and I can't get it wrong. As long as I love her, I'm connected to her. In fact, the saddest thing is that eventually, as I connect to her and I learn how much I love her, she starts growing up and moving away from me. Eventually, she's going to leave me for another guy or girl.
Mm-hmm. 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 Absolutely true. One of your comments in the book is, over and over again, the theme would come up that fatherhood was a learning process, and the transition away from selfishness seems to be an essential part of the journey. James Ibond, you have done a wonderful job with this book. I think, just as you've mentioned, the women that have read the stories, it opens up a perspective for them. And love, whether you're male or female, for children, and it has such a tremendous impact. And nobody gets through the experience without making mistakes, because I have yet to find a handbook for parenthood that knows it all. It just doesn't. And it's a journey, because every child is unique. But your book, The Secret Life of Fathers, gives, as you said at the beginning of our chat, an insight into the environment of men, their thinking, their attitude, their confusion, their joy, their sense of humor. You give so much here that I think is just so rich. Now, I do know you've got a website, The Father-Daughter Project, which is a wonderful project. People can go and find out more about this on your website, thefatherdaughterproject.com. They can find out about your book. This has just been delightful, James. I wish you nothing but the best for the book, and I think you're going to even have more wonderful responses from people that have read it, and I think their stories will touch you just as deeply as the interviews you did.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you very much.
You are more than welcome. This is Donna Sebo. Check out The Secret Life of Fathers. It is an incredible book. Father's Day is coming up. Why not share it with the guy that you love? And maybe he will find a bit of himself in here and just say, thanks. I really appreciate it. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to come. We'll be right back.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance your physical needs with your busy schedule is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. It can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. And as a weight loss appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used. No caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon or squatsponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting amazon.com or squatsponge.com. Visit amazon.com or squatsponge.com for more information.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com
or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome. And telephone lines are now open, so if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with some intuitive insight. 888-627-6008 is the toll-free number that you can call into, and all I need is your first name or initial if you're a first-time listener. That's all I need from you. Let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that might be of concern to you. So that toll-free number is 888-627-6008. 8. Well, here in the Pacific Northwest, we're positively giddy because it is absolutely gorgeous up here. We have been in the 70s, it got up to the 80s yesterday. It is just absolutely dynamically beautiful. And I just love awakening in the morning to the golden glow of sunshine coming through the windows. And everything outside looks like it has been airbrushed with silver and pink. And, oh, it's just incredible, especially when you watch the colors in the sky, in the morning summer sky. It's just beautiful. And Maud Hart Lovelace wrote a little ditty, and it is over, it's superimposed over this exquisite photograph of these beautiful, beautiful pink roses. She says, "It was June and the world smelled of roses. The sunshine was like powdered gold over the grassy hillside." And I said, oh, yes, that is exactly the way it looked. This morning when I got up in the early hours to prepare for the show and to review the stacks of material that come in, which I always like. I don't know if you're a morning person or not, but I like the early morning hours. The birds are chirping like crazy, and you think, why are they up so early? But they are. They're happy. They're busy. Their lives are just very, very much involved. And it's wonderful to watch nature. I don't care where you live. If you take the time to be quiet and find a spot where you can just watch a tree or your backyard, front yard, whatever, or sit in a park somewhere, you will be amazed at how much activity is going on in that little portion of the world that you live in. I came across a subject matter of one kind or another, and it was a person's personal experience in which they said they had never really taken the time to observe life around them. And they happened to go visit a national park, I think it was Yellowstone. And while they were walking around and driving around, because it's a huge, huge park, they said they came across this ranger. And they had decided they were going to take this walk. And this is when they discovered this ranger. And he had a group of kids with him. And the kids were all on their stomachs. They were laying down in the dirt. And they were all just staring at the dirt. And so they were curious. And they walked up to the ranger and they asked the ranger what they were doing. Why were the kids on their stomachs in the dirt? And he said, I have an exercise I've developed. And he said, I ask them to pick an inch of ground and to look at all the activity that's going on in that inch of ground. And I thought that was such an amazing story. And so this guy said, just for the heck of it, let me see what happens. What do I find if I go and I lay down on the ground? He decided to be like a kid. He got down on the ground, laid down just like the kids were doing. He asked them if he could join them. They said, sure, go find your own inch. So he did. And he said within just a very short period of time, in that one little square piece of ground, and the ranger would tell them, focus on that piece. Watch it. Watch what happens. By golly, suddenly he sees an ant. He sees some other things that he didn't even know existed crawling around. There were things that flew in and out. And he said it's in that moment of getting down on the ground with the kids in that simple performing, that simple exercise, he said he realized how incredibly intricate this experience of life is and how many different forms of life there are that he had no clue about. He said the whole experience of being in this huge national park changed dramatically. And he said it opened up his mind and his attitude to all kinds of variables. So I wanted to share that with you this morning because we never know when we're going to have that aha moment. And Mother Nature, I was taught this many years ago by one of my very fine mentors. His name is Reverend Humble. And he grew up on a farm in Illinois. His family, he was born in the late 1800s. His family raised broom corn. And he would share what the experiences were like on the farm. And one of the many gifts that he gave me was, Mother Nature will teach you everything you need to know, but you do have to take the time to observe. You do have to take the time to listen. You do have to take the time to focus and pay attention. And I have found that so true. And for those of you who love exploring color, creativity, design, I know you can relate to what I'm saying. But for those of you that have never stepped into that world, never gone around touching needles on a pine tree or the bark of a tree or bending over and enjoying just the formation of a flower, being amazed at the magnificence of life and its expression, why don't you take the time? This is the time of year where there's just so much going on. It may make your world so much richer than you could ever have imagined. Speaking about richness, I feel that so many times stories come our way about people who are determined to take something that created a great deal of maybe ugliness or sadness in their lives and create something that's bigger than that. They take what seems to be a lack, making it into something that's a blessing, something that's abundant. And that is what happened with a man's father. His name is Carlos Arredondo. And he is a man who had a son who died in Iraq in 2004. And there is the Boston Marathon, and we all know what happened at the Boston Marathon recently. And he was engaged in that marathon. And how he was engaged is that he carried his son's boots across the finish line. Now, this is what happened at the Boston Marathon. He was handing out American flags when the first bomb went off. And he said immediately he thought of his son, Marine Lance Corporal Alexander Scott Arredondo. And he responded instantaneously. He saw a man whose legs had been injured by the blast. He put the flames out on the man's shirt and pinched closed an artery that had been severed by the debris that had been in the bomb, and helped to get this man to an ambulance that was nearby within just a matter of minutes. And the man said, who had been rescued, and his name was Jeff Bauman, he was 27 years old, or is 27 years old, he said to Mr. Arredondo, "You saved my life. I could have bled to death." And Arredondo said, "I was meant to be there." Experiences like this make us realize how very interconnected we really are, and that we are usually in the right place at the right time for whatever might be needed. And I think that when you can hear stories like this, you gain a different perspective. You realize that life has a much deeper meaning than you could ever have imagined. And I've got some other stories that I will be sharing with you in the coming days, but that one was really very poignant, and it really touched my heart. So I wanted to share that with you. By the way, you can give me a call at 888-627-6008. Oh, hey, get your pad of paper and a pen. I have got a wonderful, wonderful recipe for you. You know how I love cheesecake. Oh, I just think cheesecake is one of the most phenomenal desserts you could ever have. And I am a super duper cheesecake maker. I just absolutely love doing it. I love the joy it brings to people. But I have a recipe for cheesecake that is not sweet cheesecake. It's a cheddar chili cheesecake. And this will be something that will just be absolutely amazing, and it's easy to fix. You got it right. So be prepared for a dish that is just going to be a winner for any group that you are going to be serving, whether it's your family or friends. Let's take a break here for just a minute. When we come back, I'll share that with you and some other goodies as well. And don't forget, I'm happy to share my talents with you as well. Call me at 888-627-6008.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience? such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. Again, send your story to donna@delphiinternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
If you are an author and would like to be a guest on the Donna Sebo Show, please send a review copy of your publication along with a press release to the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for your material to be reviewed. Again, the address to send your material to is the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497.
By the way, before I give you the cream cheese or the cheddar cheese, cheddar chili cheesecake, try saying that 10 times real fast. Before I give you the recipe on that, I want to share a little bit of trivia with you regarding your cell phone. They have been doing a lot of research, and especially regarding a hands-free phone when you're driving. And Canadian researchers have been checking out driving abilities, doing tests with people on a special MRI machine. Now, it's involved with the steering wheel, the brake, and the accelerator pedal. And they find that when people are in a conversation on a hands-free phone, this is what's going on. Your blood flow decreases to the area of the brain controlling the vision. And they say they have proven, without any hesitation, that multitasking compromises a driver's safety. So anything that steals your attention, including listening to GPS, radio, can have an effect. Now, the brain can operate on multiple levels, but I think so many times, and I've seen it many, many times, people that have cell phones up to their ear, they're talking a mile a minute. I think women are very guilty of this, guys too, but women especially. And they will have kids in the car, and they are trying to multitask, and they're not aware, really, of what's going on around them. They think they are, but they're not. So just keep that in mind. Be safe. And especially during the summer months when you have so many more people that are out and about, and kids, oh my goodness, in our neighborhood, they're on scooters, skateboards, all of a sudden they can't appear out of anywhere. So be aware. Be sure you pay attention. Okay, let's go in for this cheddar chili cheesecake. Now, this is an exceptionally unique dish in that it's going to please just about anybody's taste buds. If they like Mexican food, if they love chili, and if you like the texture that you have in a cheesecake, it all comes together in this amazing result. Now, these are the ingredients that you're going to need. And by the way, you can have your oven preheating at 325 degrees. You are going to need a 9-inch springform pan, and you need to use either nonstick cooking spray or butter. If you're one of these gourmet cooks, just use regular butter. But it does need to be greased on the inside. And I'm going to talk to you about the breadcrumbs and the cheese, et cetera, and what you need to do with this. But let me give you the ingredients here. 1.5 tablespoons of butter, and this is for greasing the pan. If you don't want to grease the pan with that, you want to use a nonstick cooking spray, you can do that. You're going to need 1/4 cup of breadcrumbs, very, very fine, and you need to toast them in the oven. You want to make sure that they've got a crunchy, very lightly toasted, not till they're black dark. You want 1/4 cup of finely grated sharp cheddar cheese. Now, if you want even a more intensive flavor, use extra sharp cheddar cheese. It's really going to give a nice complement to this. You need 6 ounces of thinly sliced ham, 6 ounces, your favorite, whatever it is, and you need 1.5 pounds of cream cheese. This needs to be at room temperature. Actually, all the ingredients should be at room temperature. You need another 12 ounces of extra sharp or sharp cheddar cheese, and all of that needs to be grated. 1 cup of cottage cheese. 3/4 cup of chopped green onions, 4 eggs, 3 tablespoons of seeded and finely chopped jalapeno pepper. If you're lazy like me, you get a little can. That's what you do. I'm lazy. I use the canned jalapenos. But if you want to roast your own, that'll give a little bit of a different flavor. You can do that. 2 tablespoons of milk, and I do not use the skim milk. Use a half and half. You could use evaporated milk here, but use regular milk. Don't go with the low-cal stuff. It's just not going to work as well. And then you need 1 garlic clove, and you want to have that. Now, again, this is what you're going to do. Your oven is preheating at 325 degrees. You've got your springform pan grease. You're going to take the breadcrumbs and mix 1/4 cup of your cheddar in it. You want to sprinkle the mixture into the pan, and then you want to turn it so that it coats the inside of the pan. Now, what you want to do, once that's done, you want to put the pan in the refrigerator. Now, then what you're going to do is dice about half of your ham. The remaining slices you put to the side. You're going to mix your diced ham with the remaining ingredients in a blender or your food processor until it's smooth, smooth as silk. And you pour slightly more than half of the filling into your refrigerated pan that has the crust. You bring that out, pour half of it in. Then you take your ham slices that are left, put them on top of the mixture, cover it with the remaining filling, set the pan on the, you know, cover with the rest of the liquid that you've got. You put your pan on a baking sheet. Put it in your oven. You're going to bake it for 1 1/4 hours. You turn your oven off. You let the cheesecake cool about an hour inside the oven. The door has to be ajar, but you let it cool. When it's cool to the touch, bring it to a rack, remove the sides of the pan, and then at that point, you can refrigerate it before serving. But when you're ready to serve, when your people are around, maybe you're serving it for a brunch, when you're doing that, you want to be sure that at the time of serving that it's been allowed to come to room temperature. So it'll need about, well, half hour, maybe 45 minutes to achieve that desired temperature. Perfect with fruit. You know, it's just absolutely wonderful. And, oh, are you going to get the accolades? Real simple, real easy, and delicious. Donna Sebo here. I know that we are just about running out of time, and I want to let you know who's going to be with me tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the truth behind beautiful smiles. Dr. Zyback is my guest, and I learned a lot from reading his material about how we can be aware of the relationship with our teeth, our overall wellness. But if you're concerned about how your teeth look, or you want to know how to take care of your teeth or whiten your teeth or whatever your question might be, Dr. Zyback has really some great, great answers. And then next week, we're going to be talking about head trash. If any of you got some of that stuff floating around in your head, Timothy Thomas is a great guy, and he is all about empowering people so that they can conquer more of what goes on in the gray matter of the upstairs section of our head and how we can make it work for us instead of against us. And then we're going to be talking on Tuesday with Lynn Casty about something that's really going to be, by some of you, considered very far out, a secret journey to planet Serpo. This is about information that has just been released about aliens. And I'm not talking about the ones coming across the Mexican border. I'm talking about those from outer space and how they are individuals that have already enjoyed interplanetary travel and what those experiences would like. Well, I don't care whether you believe it or not. I think you'll find the topic fascinating. And then 21 things you need to know about your feet and diabetes. Diabetes is an insidious situation physically, and we need to know how to work with it, and your feet are a significant part of that. The Lost Season by Jeffrey Beers is about a coach and how his life was transformed by a bartender. That one you'll need to listen to find out more about. And then on Friday, a week from today, how you can be a great dad no matter what kind of father you had. So we've got a great lineup of people. And if you want to find out more about what's happening on the show, just check out show information here on BBS Radio. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Enjoy this day. You've got blessings unlimited in your life. Start counting them and appreciate where you are. Take care. We'll be talking tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.